The Agricultural Solution Media Summit. I'm responsible for an interdisciplinary research division, and I'd like to address the topic of innovation in a little bit broader sense, and later coming back to agricultural things more in detail. My speaking notes say I'm glad to be back in Chicago. That has a good reason, because 29 years ago I did my PhD work at Northwestern University, Evanston, which was a nice experience, except that at that time it was a dry city, so we had to go downtown Chicago to get some drinks, and I recently Googled that they recently closed down some bar in Evanston because they sold liquor to minors. Naja, okay. I'll be there to visit tomorrow my old professor. Let's see what has changed. And, of course, a lot has changed in these last 29 years in many aspects. And that's a little bit what I also want to talk about. What is going to change in the future? What drives innovation? What is ahead of us? And most importantly, what can BASF contribute to that? And you may know that BASF is the number one chemical company in sales and performance. We want to defend that pole position, of course, that requires innovation, that requires growth. And then the question is, how do we approach that? Where are the opportunities for BASF? And then we come to something just meanwhile well known. This famous, we're going to be 9 billion people on this earth by 2050. We're currently 7 billion. And it's certainly not difficult to imagine that there are major challenges ahead of us to solve all these issues and the requirements and the wishes, because people, they want to have a quality of life. People in the emerging countries have the same right to the same standard of living like we have in the more modern world. It's about potable water. It's about food. They don't want to be hungry. They're changing their habits. You see that like in China. They're not satisfied with having a rice bowl every day. They want poultry. They want pork. They want meat. That requires more agriculture. And we all know that the land, the available land, is not growing. So at the end of the day, we need very scientific and innovative concepts to make sure that we feed the world, and that with continued innovation, we get much more out of the land to feed the global population. Last but not least, resource, environment, and climate. Huge challenges. I've been last week in Japan, and I was going close to Fukushima, where it was safe. There were some mountains between Fukushima, a nuclear power plant, and our train. But anyway, when you talk to customers there, they have huge challenges in the summer. They will have a definitely shortage of energy because Japan has shut down all the nuclear power plants, and they cannot, just like Germany, transport it from across the border because it's an island. So huge challenges which goes into that. So these are all issues where we believe as BASF we can contribute, and it is about more sustainability. It's about innovation as a main driver. And last but not least, in many of these cases, chemistry is the enabler. And how does BASF do it? If we look in the challenges of the future and we compare that with what our capabilities are and what our markets, we can identify basically 7 core industries or customers industries. Starting from the left, for example, transportation. The big issue, batteries for mobility. Car driven by battery, substitution of oil, substitution of gas. Or the other thing, energy and resources. Big challenges. I gave the example of Japan and how are they going to solve their immediate problem, shifting from nuclear power to others. But also long term, how can we be more sustainable? What does it mean? Are there changes in resources also? And we have, and this is then closer to what we're talking about today, the issue of agriculture. It's plant biotechnology, something where Peter Eggers will later talk a little bit more about that, or functional crop care, which is a new part in our agricultural business model where it's about solutions beyond the pure crop protection. How can we make plants more healthier? How can we increase or improve water management or uptake of nutrition? And I think, Marcus, that you will drill a little bit more into that. So these are all business fields where BASF believe that that can give us an extra kick, that we can contribute to society. And I give you one number. We have a target of increasing our sales by 2020 to 115 billion euro. We have been last year at 73.5. 2020, 115 billion euro, and our target is that 30 billion of the sales should be from products and solutions which are not older than 10 years. 30 billion. Now, I looked into the history. It took BASF 135 years to reach 30 billion turnover. That was in the year 2000. And now we claim that in the next 8 years we generate so much. And that's obvious that you need to do a lot in innovation. And you, I need to identify these fields. You need to solve the problem, turn science into innovation and products, and constantly feed also this pipeline with new ideas, looking at what is going on in the market. Now, if we have this target, then of course we need to spend money, and Andreas said it already, we spent last year 1.7 billion euro, it will be this year 1.6, this year it will be 1.7 billion, and the target is that this will grow over time, of course. It is the largest R&D spending of a chemical company, and if you look at it, it's about 77% is spent into businesses we already have, and then maybe more interestingly for the future also is if we look at what we call corporate research, this is these 13% in blue plus what is plant biotechnology, that 23% of our budget are spent into new fields where there's not yet an operating division running a business. This is really complementing, increasing BASF's product portfolio and going ahead with that. And the other important message is here, like Andreas said already, 27% of BASF's R&D money goes into agricultural solutions, so for crop protection and for plant biotechnology. How does, let's say, the mode of action of our innovation change or has changed over time? What's coming in the future? It's nicely described here. You see, in the past, it was more about new molecules. You made a new plastic, you made a new active ingredient, maybe, and that was enough. The next phase then was to take that and make it a little bit smarter, come up with smarter solutions. What we see coming now and continuing in the future is that it is going more towards functionalized materials and solutions. I'll give you one example. If we talk about electromobility in cars, and we talk, everybody has heard about a lithium-ion battery. Well, our job is not done by supplying lithium ions because that's not going to solve the problem. So the message is it's getting much more complex. You need much more interdisciplinary activities, and it's not something which a chemist alone can solve. So we will have much more interdisciplinary things, and also important, we have to understand the needs of our customers even better, the value chains. So if you move from supplying only a molecule to supplying a solution, you need to understand much better what is going on. And I'd like to give you one example, which is not agro, but it, from our point of view, shows pretty well what the capabilities of a company like BASF are. And this is here the so-called Smart for Vision that has a joint project of Daimler and BASF. And you find here top-notch breakthrough technology which has been developed by BASF and in part together with Daimler. It starts with lightweight body of the car, because at the end, if we talk about efficiency of mobility, we need to reduce the weight of cars. We have high-performance foams for stability and safety. We have infrared reflected films to manage the temperature management, because one thing is also clear: if one day these cars are driven by batteries, you don't want to spend 50% of your battery capacity for your aircon. So you need to come up with smarter things. Or maybe that's a top innovation coming from my division. On the roof, there are transparent organic solar panels and organic light emission diodes, which generate energy from sunlight, increasing a nice design or having a new solution with lighting. So here the message is, again, you can imagine that this is not done by one chemist. You have a multitude of disciplines, chemists, physicists, material scientists, and so on, plus a close cooperation with customers. And the message is also that the tendency of moving from molecules to complex solutions is also playing into the hand of BASF, because we have the largest R&D infrastructure, the largest number of people, more than 10,000 people globally working for R&D. And we have strong technology platforms which are capable of really working across disciplines and supplying know-how, scientific know-how, to all kinds of businesses. And when we now try to close the loop, going more into agro. Of course, we complement this, as we call BASF Research Verbund, the internal Verbund, with a number of corporations, with partners, with joint ventures, with university and academia, to really make sure that we exploit to the most all these issues. And if I now focus finally a bit on agrochemical, that is a fantastic example about interdisciplinarity. It starts, of course, with a chemist who is synthesizing some molecules, but then you need high throughput technologies to identify the right things. You need biologists to identify the mode of action. You need toxicologists who can also help you to find out not only the most potent active ingredient, but one which is the most sustainable one, meaning that is something which you can easily bring to through regulation, and that improves your sustainability overall. There's a lot going on. There are other new technologies which we also apply now at BASF, for example, white biotechnology, where we use breakthrough technologies to really define biologically synthesize potential crop protection products which are based on natural products. So taking nature a little bit as an example and trying to do something that, again, with the aim of increasing sustainability. Or we have things... We have a big plastic laboratory research, and that can help in formulation, for example. We have developed polymers where we can encapsulate active ingredients, make them slow release, have dispersions in water with a number of very good examples. For example, you have no odor, no smell, it's safer. And again, you have a time effect in releasing the active ingredient over time. So messages here, it's more than only pure agrochemicals as we know it from the past, looking for one molecule. It's a whole complex broad experiences of BASF with all our capabilities to really play into the hand and drive it forward to maximize synergies. And if I take one example, crop protection and our plant biotechnology, of course we have also synergies in our global structure, both in with regard to biology research, but also to infrastructure, laboratories, greenhouses, and so on. That's something where BASF adds value to this. And last but not least, as we talked about challenges in the future, also the way how innovation is changing over time, but there are other things also changing. We assume that by 2020, not only will we have 150 million billion euro turnover, we will also see that by that time the majority of the chemical business will be in emerging countries. And that also has a consequence if we say we want to be innovative, we want to understand our customers and the mechanism. We also, with regard to research, have to be much closer to our customer. This is what the agrochemical division has already shown there in six international sites around the world to really be close to the markets, and the rest of BASF, all other research divisions, will also follow and accelerate. We have currently about 24% of our R&D people outside of Europe, and by 2020 that will increase to 50%, and it will not happen by shifting people from Europe to Americas or to Asia, but to really invest in people and in knowledge in this region. With that, I'd like to thank you very much, and I'll pass on to Markus.